Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Coach Jen at the Pasture Side Studio in Ocala, Florida. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 15th, episode 766. Good morning, Horse World!
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining Jennifer and I on this Tuesday morning here on Horses in the Morning. Jamie is off today. She'll be back tomorrow. Jamie has reached her limit at about 3 days a week trying to coordinate horses and babies and all that stuff. So,
yeah, I think it's Lucas who has reached his limit.
Yeah.
He's only willing to give up mom for 3 days a week for a couple of hours. When he's 6 or 7 years old, he's not going to care. He's going to be out there in the backyard causing trouble.
Actually, considering we haven't heard him on the air too often. Occasionally, we do hear him on the air. And you know, when they're little tiny babies like that, it's not so bad. It's when they get to be 1 to 2 years old, and then you hear him on the air. Then it's pretty much just screaming and stuff. So
his first words are going to be flex and fork.
Yeah, we'll see how she does when the baby becomes mobile, you know. We'll see how that goes. Hey, big news. Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up in the show here in a minute, but first, big news in the eventing, rocking the eventing world yesterday.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's all over the place. If you remember right, Jock Pageant riding Clifton Promise was the winner at this year's Burley Horse Trials. We covered that on the show and talked a little bit about that. Well, the FEI came out yesterday and announced that that the Equestrian Sports New Zealand has received notification from the FEI of a positive test on a banned substance after the final round at Burley on September the 8th on Clifton's Promise on the winner's Jock Pageant's horse. He has now been stood down from competition with what they call immediate effect, pending a test of the B sample and any subsequent hearings. So what they're going to do now is do a second test on the second sample to make sure the first test wasn't erroneous. And if they do find that the B sample tests positive also, then there's a possibility that his title could be stripped and taken away from him. So right now, that's all up in the air. Jock's comment says that he is understandably shocked at the finding. He and all relevant parties state categorically that none of them have taken any actions with the intent of administering any prohibited substances, and they are working on, you know, what might have caused it if it does come out positive. Now, it was a substance called reserpine. Do you know anything about that? It's apparently an intense tranquilizer that's on the substance and really has no other use.
Yeah, reserpine. Yeah, I don't really know anything about it. Reserpine. Let's hit the Google button and see.
Reserpine, maybe. Anyway, it has no legitimate use, according to the FEI, in equine medicine, or have a high potential for abuse in human antidepressants, antipsychotics, nervous system stimulants, etc. So it is used more on the human side, apparently. in
for the control of high blood pressure and the relief of psychotic symptoms.
I need some of that.
It is rarely used today because of its numerous side effects.
Oh, that's one of those where the commercial goes three-quarters of the commercial is the side effects about how it's going to kill you?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an antidepressant, but because of these side effects, you'll be happy when you die of six other things.
Yeah, you're going to this medication will cure your heel pain, but it will also cause blood clots in the brain and possible nerve. Yeah. This is really big news because you don't get a lot of this positive test in the eventing business as a whole. It's not like in certain sports, like, yeah, there's another positive, they'll work it out. But you don't get a lot of them. And it's going to be interesting to watch this pan out to see if more facts come to light and the possibility of ill intent on someone else's part in that, you know, the animal could have been given something by someone who was trying to cause difficulties for Jock?
Well, there's an interesting twist to it, too. The FBI tribunal's list of pending cases also shows that Clifton Pinot, written by Jock's mentor, Australian inventor Kevin McNabb, also tested positive for the same substance at Burley. So there's two New Zealand horses that have come out and tested positive. So, that you know, that there's more to this story than just a winner as well. And, of course, New Zealand's in the spotlight right now because they've been winning everything. I mean, New Zealand's been doing very well. Over the weekend, there was a competition in Bokilo in the Netherlands where a 25-year-old – is it Bokilo? Okay, Bokilo.
That's how Sammy Sam on the eventing show says it, so it must be right.
Oh, then it must be right. Well, Lizzie Brown from New Zealand won that one. So, and so she's with her horse Attorney General. You know, so they're really in the spotlight right now because of all the competitions they've won recently. So we'll keep an eye on that and follow that and see how that comes down. I'm sure we'll know in the next couple of in the next week or two what the second B test was. We'll chat about that, I'm sure. Well, Jennifer, what's coming up in today's show? We have some exciting news here at the Horse Radio Network.
On today's Too Tired for Tuesday edition, it's all about horsemanship radio this morning because Debbie Laux, the woman holding the reins of the newest podcast on the Horse Radio Network, will be here to tell us all about horsemanship radio. And following a few eyebrow-raising headlines, Alan Moorhead, co-host of the Western Radio Show, will be stopping by for a chat about his real job as a rodeo announcer. And that's Glenn's secret wish-I-had job. And also a quick list of helpful hints for dealing with haphazard tails rounds out the show. So stay tuned for the fray.
Thank you, Jennifer. We do have some Daily Whinnies for you today. Mine goes out to a woman by the name of Lorraine Melgosa, who for the past 20 years has been providing a free service in Colorado. She's retiring now, but over 700 times she has provided this free service. And you say, well, what has she done? Well, she has helped out at funerals of police officers, soldiers killed in the line of duty, murder victims, children. And the way she has helped out is with her black Percheron in her 1867 horse-drawn hearse. She has provided a horse-drawn hearse for funeral ceremonies all across Colorado, and mostly, as I said, for families of police officers and soldiers that were killed in the line of duty or murder victims, anybody she deemed worthy, I guess. And she did this all free of charge. She would load this beautiful horse-drawn hearse, and anybody's ever seen one up close and personal, they are absolutely stunning. We've seen a couple at the auctions we've been to, and they are works of art. And they truly do make a magnificent sight when you see a black Percheron pulling up to the gravesite, pulling this immaculate carriage. So she did this one last time. She was going to retire at the end of the month, because she's just, I think she's run out of steam. She's trying to find somebody else to take her carriage and to continue the tradition in Colorado. She said it is a labor of love. Everything that she got in was done through donations, you know, to provide the gas everything to get the horses out there in her time, but she didn't charge any of the families for any of it. She said one of her toughest was a little kid that was murdered, and she said that was one of her toughest funerals, but she thoroughly enjoyed doing it and providing the service, and she hopes that somebody else takes it over in the state of Colorado. But what an amazing woman to have done that 700 times over the past 20 years out of the kindness of her heart. And what a heart-wrenching thing to do, but yet a satisfying and rewarding thing to do as well. So we definitely want to congratulate her and wish her the best in her retirement. Now it's your turn.
And my daily winning goes out to one of our Facebook posters. We love you for posting on Facebook. Jackie Young posted a very brief video of her rescue horse, whose name she did not tell us, but it ought to be adorable. She rescued her about 10 years ago, and she says, "I rescued her 10 years ago. She is my baby." So we are going to have to make sure we share that video on our Facebook page, because she has her horse picking up a ball off the ground and dunking it in a basketball hoop. It's adorable.
I know. It is cute. It is fun. Thank you, Jackie. That's a new name. I don't remember her name. If you have posted before, I apologize, but we appreciate you doing that. And, of course, we're big supporters of rescue horses. We have one, and Jamie has about 25, I think. So, you know, we appreciate you. Anybody else has rescue horses that they have a little video or pictures of, please post them on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. We'd love to see them. And we appreciate you doing that for the horses. Tomorrow, we have the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, talking too fast today, and the Horse Side Vet Guide Weekly Horse Health Report. And actually, Dr. Ying from the Driving Radio Show is going to come on tomorrow and talk about the five elements of Chinese medicine. And she's specifically going to talk about it in relationship to Jamie to find out which element she is and her horse, Jet. And she's going to determine whether the two are a match or not. So that should be interesting, and I'm sure that'll get Jamie all fired up tomorrow morning. But if you've never heard Wendy talk about the five elements and Chinese medicine, then it is something definitely you should take a listen to. It's fascinating, interesting stuff, and I have learned a lot over the period of time I've been working with Wendy on that. So definitely join us tomorrow morning for both of those things. You can give us a call at 9 a.m. if you want to play the Wheel of Trivia. We'd love to hear some new voices tomorrow, 347-637-3238. And if you have called and played before, you can, of course, call back in. That is no problem at all. We only had one winner last week. The week before, we had everybody won. We had like five winners. So it depends on the week, and it depends how smart people are feeling, I think.
I think we have a WikiLeak.
Somebody's leaking the answers. We're going to have to talk
somebody's
to Jamie.
Somebody's tapping into my questions file. Yeah.
Jamie's such a softie, she would do that. She would give, you know, leak the answers. Well, we're very excited to announce here at the Horse Radio Network the newest show that's beginning. This is our third new show in as many months. And I am so excited about this because we have known Debbie Laux for a long time now. And she's become a good friend, and she's been a guest on our show many times. She's co-hosted this show on occasion and been on our other shows as well. But she's finally hosting her own new show, and we're going to talk to her about that and introduce it here on Horses in the Morning. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Terrific. You sound great for 6 o'clock in the morning in California.
Yeah, don't tell my body yet. No, I'm kidding.
We really appreciate you getting up this early to make the announcement this morning. We're so excited to have you on board. Welcome to the host family here at Horse Radio Network.
Yeah, I love how you keep saying finally. Finally, about time. Yeah, no,
I've been talking to you about this for a long time.
I know you have. You finally pulled me out of my shell. I'm excited to do it, though. I'm really excited to do it. Like you said, it's been needed, and you know, I didn't quite understand everything that was needed until we got into this thing. But you're absolutely right. There's a hole out there. We're going to plug it.
Well, that's great, and I'm so excited that you're the one to do it. You know, I have more confidence in you than I think you do.
Probably.
This point, we're going to fix that. But you're the daughter of Monty Roberts. You've been on this show many times. We've talked about Monty and everything. And I, you know, Monty is not young anymore, and I kept saying, you know, Debbie, you're his daughter, and you're really good at this stuff. You really need to start putting your name out there a little bit too for the future. And I'm excited that you elected to partly do it in the way that we're doing it here with the new radio show.
Well, thank you. I think probably I should put a disclaimer in here that Dad has signed a contract between us, though, that he's going to keep at this for 20 years more. So he says he always honors every contract, and it's true, as long as I've known him, which is a long time. He's honored every contract I've ever seen him agree to, so not worried about it.
I don't think that we would exaggerate, Debbie, if you said that you knew Monty your whole life. I think that would be pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate. He remembers me longer than I remember me, but other than that, it's right on.
And, you know, we're going to play a little segment here. You had Monty on your first real episode, which is episode number 2. That just came out this morning, actually. It's out now, and people can find it by going to horseradionetwork.com or going to horsemanshipradio.com, either one. And it'll be on the app here soon, too, Debbie, that's going to be added over the next week to our app. So it'll be popping up there as well.
Nice so app, we'll be, by the way.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? The app is very easy to use.
Yeah, fantastic. You finally got that done. See, I can put that in
your
there.
Little logo. That's right. Your little logo will be on there. So we're excited about that. But one of the things I could tell in the interview, at the beginning of the interview with Monty, and we'll hear a little bit of the interview, but not this part. But one of the things I could tell is how proud of you he is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, because you know how fathers are, that it's you always have to hear it through somebody else, right? No, I'm kidding. Better than that.
Well, you two work together, too, which has to make it harder. I mean, Jennifer and I have worked with each other for 25 years now, and, you know, there's a lot of good times, and there's some rocky times, and I assume it's the same way if it's father and daughter when you're working together. You still it complicates the relationship a little bit more.
Well, I suppose, now Jennifer can tell us the truth on this, but I suppose, you know, it's easier to slurp up strangers, you know, and say what a good job they're doing than it is, you know, when you're working right together and thinking, well, sure you did that. Of course you did. That's what you're supposed to do, right? You know,
right.
we're a well-oiled machine. Keep going. But yeah, no, everybody who works together, I guess, you know, there's a lot of assumptions that they're pulling up the rear, and, you know, and somebody's leading and somebody's following, and it's like dancing. But, you know, if everything's going right, everybody's just happy, and if somebody steps on your toes, then, you know, that's when you notice each other. Right? Yeah?
Yeah, that's true. With Monty, you're mostly following because he goes too fast to be in front of
him. Oh, it's so true. I'll never be able to retire, Glenn. Never.
He's just always on the go. You know, when you at the end of every one of these episodes, you're doing his schedule over the next couple of weeks so people know where he is. And there was like 20 things on the schedule. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's between now and December. That's true. I mean, he's in Helsinki today, Finland, you know. when we say, where in the world is Monty? Glenn and I joked about this, that we should have a little striped shirt on him, like, where's Waldo? And that'll be in the episode, I think, wasn't it? Following that guy around.
You
the
actually
globe.
Wait till you hear the episode. You haven't heard it yet, but Jennifer put together a little bumper for that segment too that you're really going to like.
Jennifer. So he took our joke seriously. That's nice.
Yes,
yeah, it is fun. You know what he tells me though? Don't read those things. Don't read the calendar any more than a few weeks ahead of time because he just gets exhausted thinking about it. And so we do have little rules of working together. Yeah. But, you know, we always joke that he, how does he travel, you know, post 9/11 and he travels by himself, he meets teams there, but how does he pull that off? And we're all trying to figure, we eat everything he eats and, you know, we take what he takes. We're trying to get that same energy bug going. But he likes getting there. He doesn't like the traveling. He just does like getting there, though. And,
I think that's true of everybody. If we didn't have to fly 20 hours going to Australia, it'd be something you do every day, you know?
You'd be there all the time. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me what the show's going to be about. What is Horsemanship Radio going to be about?
I like this is really the brainchild of Glenn Hebert. So I yield to you about what it should be. But what I'd like it to be is a place where all the disciplines can come and get their information about horses. So, you know, my whole growing up, just so you can get high points and everything, you know, you threw an English saddle up sometimes, you threw a Western saddle up. But, you know, it was always seemed to be the quarter horse people and the Morgan people and the, you know, warm bloods, and everybody sort of thought that their breed was a little different than the other breeds, which they are, but they didn't think differently. All horses think pretty much the same. They react the same way. Their body systems work pretty much the same way, whether you're in Africa or Australia. A horse is a horse. And the discovery of equus, which is what Monty figured out, he discovered it. He doesn't make up these systems. It's the horse's language. It's a gestural language, like signing for the deaf. It works no matter what, and he's on all the continents. It works no matter what continent you're on. So all horses come from that flight animal, and all behaviors can be succinctly dealt with in a really efficient way. We're going to have Dr. Robert Miller on, father of foal imprinting. We're going to have Sandy Collier on, a reigning champion. We're going to have Stefan Peters on from the dressage world and the warm bloods and big German horses. And they all agree with Monty that horses are reactionary. They're generous. They want to respond to you in a positive way, and they just want to know what you want. You know, and we, a lot of times in the different disciplines, fight against their nature. This show is going to be about working with their nature and going in a positive direction. One nice perspective of traveling all over the world is you get to see the changes that are being made in horsemanship. And you know what? For the most part, they're all going in the right direction in the last 20, 25 years. And it's a great perspective to see. People are less beholden to the authorities anymore. They're scribbling outside the lines in training horses. And we're really excited about that because that opens up possibilities and it definitely makes for a better relationship with your horse.
Well, one of the guests that you had on this first episode is a polo player and has been doing it for a long time, and breeder. And he was fascinating, too, because he just got back from China, had been to China 20 years ago and just got back from China recently, and talks about how China is coming on board and has more and more horses, and they're really getting into the horse sports now, polo included.
Right.
And that was a fascinating, Joel Baker's his name, and that was a fascinating interview with him in this first, because I never, you know, polo players can tend to get a bad rap, some of them, as far as training is concerned. And it was interesting to hear that there's more and more and more of them adopting the natural horsemanship rather than methods that have been used for years and years.
That's right. And one of the things we're trying to do is reward those people within the industry, the champions especially, because they're influential, or the breeders especially because they're influential. We're trying to reward them for good behavior. You know, we're giving them gold stars if we can out there when they recognize the efficiency of it. And polo has a reputation for going through thousands of ponies if you're a really top, top player. Literally, they will... Adolfo Caballazo down in Argentina literally has 1,000 foals a year. And, you know, he used to start blowing through them. He didn't personally, but as he would have got his guys start them, you know, it was in the traditional way. You know what that looks like, you know, when we start to talk about it. And now he says, wow, you know what, I could, maybe the really sensitive ones, the really smart ones, are the ones that were going away because they fought, you know, against the traditional training. And if I can get the really smart, sensitive ones to just come along with me, I'll have a whole better string of ponies. So we like it. Adolfo is one of those that got an award from the Queen of England due to Monty's request, and so is Joel Baker. So Joel Baker is one that was there over in England to accept an award for the Queen from Monty's urging to reward those that are doing the right thing, you know. And I think, I mean, you can be real honest here. Did you expect that one of the first guests we'd have on Horsemanship Radio would be in polo?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
that definitely surprised me. Yeah, very much so.
Good, Jennifer. Yeah, good. We're going to go right to the heart of this misconception that, you know, of all things bad. Because the horses aren't bad, you know, so to throw out a discipline is a little bit like condemning a lot of horses. If we can take the discipline and find out ways to do it in a kind and gentle way, why not save that discipline? There's other disciplines that I'm not ready to take on yet on Horsemanship Radio, but I can tell you that think of some of those that are the toughest in your mind. We will eventually have some good news for you on those, even the toughest ones.
Well, let's take a listen before we run out of time here. Let's take a listen. I got about 4 minutes of one of the interviews that is on this episode number 2 that came out today with Horsemanship Radio, and it is with Monty. You spent about a half an hour with Monty sort of introducing or finding out his take on the state of horsemanship today, and that's the little segment I have a part of right now. So let's take a listen to that, and we'll be back with Debbie Laux, newest host of a show here on the Horse Radio Network, Horsemanship Radio. Here's a little piece of it.
What I would love to cover in today's episode is what, in your perspective, is the state of horsemanship today?
Well, you know, it's all over the map, Debbie, and we could celebrate to say that it's changing faster than it's ever changed before, and I'm talking about 6,000 years since we began to domesticate horses, it's changing faster than it ever has, and it's improving faster than it ever has. But when you're 78 now, as I am, you're in a hurry, and you don't think it's fast enough, and you want things to go a lot better. So there's still unbelievable violence in the world of training horses. It's going on today. And there's even people who will stand up and look at that camera and profess that it's the way to go. That disturbs me greatly. So we have a lot of work to do, but there's always work to do. And I guess if there wasn't work to do, then we'd just tie a string to our toe and go fishing or something.
No.
And I'm not into that. At this moment in time, I've got work to do. And it's exciting. It really is exciting. The world of horsemanship is changing dramatically.
Good to hear. I'm sure there are a lot of us out there that sometimes worry that we're still seeing, we're firsthand witness, really, to violent methods at equestrian centers, and people are still seeing that. And a lot of people deny that. But when you were working as a child, when you were working in the industry, you watched a more compliant owner, I think, watching trainers work on horses with whips, work on horses with chains, and it was acceptable. Do you think that people were more violent back then? Do you think that it was more widely acceptable to people back then, or are we all the same still?
Debbie, what it was is that the world was convinced that was the only way. And people will, if they love horses and they want to work with horses, they'll just stand aside and let the professional beat the horse into submission, and then they'll go on and try to make a life with that animal. And indeed, almost everybody that I met at that day and time thought that was the only way you could do it. And so my mission is to say that it is my fault and the fault of everybody that thought they knew a better way not to get it out there earlier. If there's any regret in my life, it is that I didn't start early enough. And I know that there's a time and a place for everything, but really, we've got to stop this business. You know that the whip is still the number one selling piece of equipment in the tack shops of the world. And there's people on TV and in the books and doing demonstrations today that show you how to whip them, how hard to whip them, where to whip them, and when to whip them. And whipping the flight animal is the quintessential idiocy of all time. It just runs adrenaline up, and that takes learning down. There is no need for whipping. We got to figure a better way, which is to cause a discomfort, if you will, put the horse to work, or cause slight discomfort when they're wrong, but look for the way to reward the horse when they get it right. That's the critical issue.
And that's what you're going to hear on the newest show here on the Horse Radio Network, Horsemanship Radio. And it is hosted by Debbie Laux, who I have here with me right now. And, of course, Monty Roberts University is a major sponsor of the show. And I know that you're going to be tapping into some of the things that you find in the university and some of the people that you find over there as well, helping out in the future. And I'm looking forward to that, too. I wanted to remind everybody that you can find it at horseradionetwork.com or horsemanshipradio.com, either one. And then we'll also have it on the app very shortly. It'll be up in the next week, I'm told by the app guys, that it should be coming into – it'll come into Android first and then iOS as well. So we have 11 shows now on the app. And, Debbie, thank you so much for joining us this morning and telling us all about the new show.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer and Glenn. I'm really excited about it. Can't wait to share more.
All right. Thanks, Debbie. You go back to bed now.
Good night. You guys. Talk soon.
Now Debbie's going to have to join us on our annual all hosts episode. That's going to get real crowded, you know. That's going to be a crowded time at Christmas. You know, I've heard from several listeners now over the last couple of weeks that the all host episode is one of their favorite episodes. So we're going to have to make sure we continue to do that.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Speaking of hosts, we're going to be on with one of our longtime hosts, Alan Moorhead. I asked him to come on to talk a little bit about his real job, and because we've never really talked to him about that. So we're going to find out what it's like to be an announcer at rodeos across the country. Right after this word from Equestrian Collections. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week I'm featuring one product that comes in a bunch of cool styles and colors. This is the Kelly TechTrek smartphone case. Now, this is the first smartphone case that we have carried that actually is a good enough size to fit your smartphones. Half an inch by 3.25 by, get this, 5.5 inches, which means it's big enough to fit the iPhones, the Droid DNA, and Galaxy phones, those kinds of things, those bigger smartphones. I have three different phone carriers in my trailer, none of which are big enough to fit the iPhone, but these ones are, and they come in such cool colors. They come in plaid, blue, and that has a picture of a jumper on it. They come in solid colors, purple, pink, blue. They've got different horse designs on them. This is going to be a great gift. Not only do you want one for yourself, but you're going to want to get at $14.99, at $15, you're going to want to get a couple in different colors to match your outfits. You know how trail riders are, match your outfits, but also to give as gifts, because I think this is going to be a big seller. They're brand new. We're happy to have them on EquestrianCollections.com.
And you just search for Kelly TechTrek, T-E-K. T-R-E-K.
And let me tell you, they attach by on the top with a snap on the top so that you can put them on your belt loop. You can put them on your saddle if that's where you want to carry your cell phone. And you can attach them to a ring on your belt. So I think there's all kinds of ways that you can attach this while you're out and about.
At EquestrianCollections.com. And, of course, you can follow Equestrian Collections on Facebook as well. Just search for Equestrian Collections on Facebook. Well, next up, we have Alan Moorhead, host of the Western Radio Show. Haven't talked to him in a while here on the morning show. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay for this early in the morning. We're usually not up yet.
Where are you at, anyway?
What part I'm in Holland.
Are you? Wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen too often.
No, it does not. I just happened to have a rodeo this weekend that is hosted by the University of South Carolina Aiken Athletics as a fundraiser for them. And that happens to be where my oldest son went to school and graduated. And help them out every year with that, and it's only like 18 miles from the house. So for once in a year, right here.
Well, yeah, that's the only opportunity you ever get to do that.
Pretty much. They do two events yearly. We do a PBR in January and then a rodeo in October, and it just gives me a chance to be close to home. And I was spent all day yesterday unloading hay. And it's one of those kind of days yesterday where you certainly miss your children. My son wheels off to school, and Jacob's off with his job with the Ram Rodeo, and I had a trailer load of 100 and some odd bales of hay, and I was the only one here. So,
yeah, that's funny how that happens, isn't it, when the hay shows up?
It is. But I needed the exercise. So my wife.
But tell me, how many horses do you have at the farm?
We have four here right now.
Okay. And those are your trail horses and the horse you use at shows as well, plus your wife's and the barrels, right?
We have two, I guess you could call them, full-time money-earning barrel horses of my wife's. I have there is a three-year-old filly here that we took in on a trade that just a project horse to take in, break, and possibly keep, possibly sell. And then I have my big black and white paint horse that I announce rodeos on.
Now, do you bring the horse to all of your rodeo gigs or just some of them, or?
No, sir. He doesn't go to every one of them. Just the ones that they designate that they'd like to have announced horseback, and I'll take him. And sometimes there's when I'm doing a run of 6 or 8 weeks in a row that I'll do possibly 3 rodeos with him, 3 without. But he's still there and take care of him, ride him, keep him fit a little bit. And he's been at home for like 2 months now. He's just fat, sassy, and I have to use him this week. So. There's a good chance of getting bucked off at some time or another, you know.
So tell us what it's like to be we've never really talked to you about your real job, being a rodeo announcer. Is it, you know, one of the things I see, and it's sort of like being an announcer, a caller for races, is the names. My God, you have to learn all of these different names. Now, I realize you probably have them in front of you, but just pronouncing them, and you're going through hundreds a day.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like in a rodeo, and as a matter of fact, I have already, for this rodeo this weekend, which happens to be sanctioned by the IPRA, I have ways to go to their website, and through some backdoor stuff, I can get into the books. And by books, I mean it's the entries that they have, because for this rodeo this coming weekend, which will be Thursday and Friday night, because it's tied in with the Western Carolina State Fair, and it's the first night and second night of their fair that I can go into. They had to enter last week, by the way. It was last Wednesday that they had to call in for the entries. And what I can do is go in and just punch in a few deals here and there, and I can come up with I went to the wrong website. Come in with day sheets, and that way I can see who's going to be there, that kind of a deal, and possibly even find out from the stock contractor what livestock he's going to have there, and I can kind of get a head start on exactly what's going on and have the names in front of me and kind of go over them, and then I can compare to some standings that I can get at www.iprarodeo.com. If it's a PRCA rodeo, we go to prorodeo.com, and you can look in standings, results, and see what has happened at rodeos over the year. Say what Adam LeGrand may have done. Andy Parlier from Johnson City, Tennessee, who's an outstanding saddle bronc rider, going to be there as well. And I can just compare some notes, see where they are in the standings, and kind of make myself look smart talking about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the really good rodeo announcers, when you hear them, and there are some good ones and there's some not so good ones, but the really good ones really make it sound like you're friends with every single one of those riders. You know them, you know about them, you know what they've been up to, and it really makes it sound like you know them, you know, personally, every single one of them.
Well, for the most part, we do, because when you do so many of these things and you see them every weekend and that kind of thing, not that cowboys and cowgirls are braggarts or anything like that, but they love to come and tell you what they did last night, what they did last weekend, at rodeos that you hadn't happened to have been at. And sometimes it's not even all about the rodeo. It's about some funny story that happened at a truck stop between Rodeo A and Rodeo B, something that somebody may have done, and that kind of a thing. And rodeo information is always great to have, but those funny stories about just going down the road are always great to have, too.
Do you walk around the barns before the rodeo talking to people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially, like, if I look down the list and I see a name that I haven't seen in a while, you want to make sure you kind of touch base with them. And it's not necessarily about, you know, finding out exactly what their mindset is right there at that time. It's just to be able to catch up on all those times that you haven't seen them. Like I said, if you hadn't seen them in a while, we're just a big family in rodeo. And every weekend to me is like a family reunion. And you just get together and get to fellowship and that kind of a thing. And, I mean, it's just funny that I heard you talking about a real job. I mean, I don't know what a real job is as opposed to the fact that I look at it like I get to go to work and don't have to go to work because it's something that I enjoy doing. I'm really shy and bashful and quiet. But
I think part of that, too, is, Alan, most of these, take place at fairs and venues like that where they have tons of food. How are you not 400 pounds? Because I know you like to eat.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to 400 pounds anyway. it's something that you try to, like at a rodeo, we don't order. It's kind of a different kind of a schedule. Like I said, ordinarily, I'm just not up yet. Here at the ranch or the farm, I'm usually up. 8:30, 7, something like that. Go out and feed, come back in, get a little breakfast, catch up on all the world happenings with listening to the real news at Fox News Network, and then going out, maybe riding a couple of horses from a while and getting mine caught up and then just catching up stuff here around the farm. But when I'm at a rodeo, ordinarily a rodeo starts anywhere from 7 to 8 o'clock at night, runs 2.5 hours to 2 hours and 45 minutes. Then sometimes you may have a little slack afterwards, which is more entries than what you can really put in a rodeo performance. And I can explain that in just a little bit. But ordinarily, after that, and then some fellowship time and maybe a hospitality booth with some food after the rodeo, you're 1, 2, 3 o'clock going to bed, so you're 10 or 11 o'clock getting up. Ordinarily, after all that, I'll go out and walk 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that, just about every day. Trying to keep that off, and, you know, when you get older, you have to do that kind of stuff anyway. I mean,
right,
heck, just, I'm 38 years old now.
You and Glenn
are younger,
Alan. Amazing. Yeah.
I'm 53. For real.
Really?
53.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I felt 75 when I woke up this morning, but I'm 53.
Kind of how it works. You feel older when you wake up, and as the years go by, you shave fewer years off between 8 a.m. and noon.
Oh, yeah, it's just like you comb fewer hairs every morning, too. I mean, what ain't turning gray is turning loose. When I tip my hat, I'm starting to get that little glare spot up on the top. I mean, I've got it all around. We got the little bald spot on the top, but, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
Well, Glenn alluded earlier to the fact that rodeos happen at a very wide variety of venues, everything from fancy coliseums to fairgrounds that have a generator and don't have power connected to the power source. What kind of lead time do you typically get when you come to a rodeo? Do you get there 2 days ahead? Do you get there an hour and a half before it starts? Give us a little bit of a description of how things get rolling before the rodeo actually starts.
Well, again, that kind of depends on how far you are from it, how it works into what we call a run. Like I put together a run every year to where I go from home to a rodeo in Tennessee, then a rodeo in Missouri, then into Texas for 3 weeks, then back to Tennessee, then back out to the National High School Finals Rodeo in Wyoming, which I fly there. And ordinarily, you just get with the committees and say, hey, I'm going to be out on the road. You know, can I get there a day early or 2 days early? And if it's a new rodeo, you might want to try to get there 2 days early. Sometimes it's a deal to where the rodeo committee will offer up a little extra stipend in some money for you to come 3 or 4 days early so you can visit some schools and talk to some kids and, you know, go be in a parade to help promote the rodeo and that kind of a thing. But ordinarily, I like to be there at least a day before. Some of the local rodeos that are closer to home, 2 or 3 hours away, I might just get up early on a Friday morning and go set up sound, be set up by noon, and then that way I can kind of sit back because contestants don't start rolling in until closer to rodeo time. But it still gives you a chance to intermingle with your committee, find out more about their sponsors, visit with some of the sponsors that happen to be there because that's all important. You know, folks sit there and look and see you do a 2.5-hour rodeo. They say, God, that was just, you know, you made that look easy. So you really did a good job with that. And it's not a matter of working hard during the rodeo. Sometimes it's the 4 to 6 to 8 hours of preparation that you have to be ready for that rodeo. So
right. The
actual job of doing a rodeo is not from National Anthem to Happy Trails. It's from Happy Trails to National Anthem, the time you spend between them and what you do to prepare yourself.
Kind of like what we do, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's all that stuff you got to get done before you hit the record.
The work is the easy part.
Yeah. So do you now, you have to be straightforward. No PC here, Alan. What is your favorite rodeo event? Not rodeo facility, but your favorite, is it bronc riding? Is it mutton busting? What is your favorite rodeo event to watch as a spectator?
Saddle bronc riding.
Is it really?
I love the saddle bronc riding, yeah.
Why?
Well, I love barrel racing too,
he's done it for real.
Because
he does it for real.
Yeah.
Well, only when my horse gets hooked by a bull do I try to do it anymore because I'm too old and too fat to try to stay up there. But as far as watching really what the root meaning of cowboy to me is you know, of course, somebody that works cattle and that kind of thing. But the first place you have to have, back in the day, there were no F-350s or Ram Laramie Longhorn trucks and or the Chevy Duramax or anything like that. You had to do it with a horse, and the horse had to be educated to ride. And to me, it's just kind of I don't know if you want to call it the romantic side of the cowboy in his life of just watching a man and a horse, you know, come together. And, of course, at the root of it, you're not looking to get that horse broke to ride. You're just wanting to ride him for 8 seconds to get the most you can in points for a score. But, I mean, to see a pretty bronc ride, it's just something else to me.
Well, Alan, now I have to ask you a question because I hate to keep bringing this back to food, but that's what you and I do the best. And Mike and Jamie won't let me talk about food all the time, so she's not here, so we can do that. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite rodeo do you do because of the food?
Lord, I would say that Imboden, Arkansas is a rodeo that we do in August. And on Saturday, they have a hospitality tent, which they'll have a local grocery store is donating some sandwich meats and breads and things like that. And it's for contestants and personnel of the rodeo to go by and, you know, pick yourself a sandwich. They have a lot of soft drinks. They have water. They have Gatorade. And those are really cool to have around a rodeo. There's a lot of rodeos that do that type of thing. And some of them even have a little more elaborate fooding than that. But that's pretty much all you need there. But the committee gets together, and it's kind of like an old Southern after-Sunday morning church service lunch. All the little old ladies bring stuff together. And I'm talking about pies with meringue that go up like 8 or 9 inches high. The barbecue, fried fish, fried deer meat. And we get together on a Saturday with the committee between rodeo performance there at Imboden, Arkansas, and man, they just do a great job, and such folks with great hospitality. And if you just happen to mention something that you like 2 or 3 days before, because we always get there like on Wednesday, the rodeo is Friday, Saturday, we'll get there Wednesday or Thursday, so you have a chance again to interact with the committee. And I got to talking this last year about that there was last year, 2012, someone that brought a bunch of chocolate-covered strawberries that were absolutely delicious. And I happened to be talking to one of the sponsors, and it was his wife that was standing there that made those. And that was Thursday. Friday morning, she walks over with a big platter of about 24 chocolate-covered strawberries and brings them to me up on the trailer. And in talking, I got to talking about some foods we liked and how, you know, we got to just kind of tossing back and forth some of our favorite recipes and things like that. And I mentioned taking a jalapeno, cutting it in half, filling it with some type of cheese, wrapping it with bacon, and then grilling it or either pan-frying it or something like that. And that next day, somebody had made about 45 jalapeno poppers, and, man, we were just in heaven.
That's funny. One of my favorite foods, too, is brisket. And people screw up brisket. I think I've had more screwed up brisket than good brisket. You know, good, moist, juicy brisket is hard to do.
Right.
Usually comes out dry. You know, you can put good seasonings on it, and it, you know, it's okay, but it's dry. And, you know, I always am looking for good brisket. So keep that in mind as you're tasting brisket around. Let me know which ones are the really good ones and where to find them.
Well, the last of June and the first of July, and this is just before I go to Imboden, I have 2 weeks at Mesquite, Texas, and they have a catering department, and they have they sell tickets. They have a club there, and it's like a bar club, and they do a buffet before the rodeo. And Friday night, they always have brisket, and they have a smoker, Glenn, that they can probably put 60 brisket in. It's really, really cool. And this would be possibly my second favorite place to go, or either, I don't know, it's kind of up there with Imboden, because I always get there, and I'm there a couple of weeks, and I'll go to one of their grocery stores or a meat shop there, and I'll buy 2 5-pound loaves of bologna, and I'll take the casing off of it. And when they're smoking the brisket, I put the bologna in the smoker with the brisket. And for the next 7-8 days, we'll have smoked bologna, too. Oh, man, I love smoked bologna. But they do good brisket, too.
Yeah, that's still one of my favorites. Well, Alan, thank you so much. Of course, you can hear Alan's show over at the Western Radio Show, he and Tammy. Tammy was on here giving us an update last week on her health and everything, and she sounds really good. She sounded like the old Tammy again.
Yes, you back to the old Tammy, pretty much.
Yeah,
busy,
which is
always going.
And causing Alan trouble. Welcome back, Tammy.
I didn't say that. Glenn said that.
Thank you, Alan. Take care.
Thank
Happy
you,
trail.
Glenn. Y'all take care, too. All right, bye.
Well, that was fun. It was fun to hear about what he does out there on the road. You know, what a life, because he is traveling a lot. I mean, he does travel a whole lot.
Yes. I think this may be the first time we've ever spoken to Alan when he's at home, with the exception of the All Hosts episode.
Yes, around
it's
Christmas
weird.
Time.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you missed those and want to go back and take a listen, we do an All Hosts episode every holiday. And we run it across all the shows where we get all the hosts together on one line, and we just sit around and talk and have a good time. And last year it was a lot of fun. I think we had, 8 or 9 hosts on last year. It keeps growing, which is a problem. But it was a lot of fun, and we've heard from so many people how they love the All Hosts episode. Well, after the song today, you have a tip for us. Tell us about what your tip's going to be.
Well, we are going to be dealing with frazzled, haphazard tales today. How to deal with the bad hair. And that this tip was inspired by P.T. Scooter.
All right, very good. He does have a bad tail, so let's listen to that right after we have our song, Rhythm of the Ride, by Marianne Kennedy. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Moving is one, hoofbeats are the perfect groove. The rhythm of the ride, the natural high. Two heartbeats and 4 feet fly. We're moving in one. Oh, pizza, the perfect drum to the rhythm. The rhythm of the ride. I fall and as I rise to the rhythm of the ride, it's a natural high. Two heartbeats and 4 feet fly. We're moving as one. Oh, pizza, the perfect drum.
That's right, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Coach Jen, co-hosting the show today. Janie is off. She'll be back tomorrow just in time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, as well as we have the Horse Side Vet Guide Weekly Horse Health Report with Dr. Ying tomorrow, talking about the five elements. She's going to analyze Janie and her horse Jet to see if they match, which should cause some fireworks here on the show. We'll see how that goes.
Is there an element called gunpowder? Is that one
yes.
of the five elements?
It doesn't go well with water, so we're going to see if those two are gunpowder and water tomorrow. Should be a lot of fun. That ought to get Jamie's hackles up. Well, you can one of the things we spend a lot of time doing every day with our horses is brushing and grooming and things like that. And my pony has an absolutely beautiful coat now that he's healthy. I mean, it was terrible when we got him, but now he just has the coolest coat. And, you know, he has very thin mane, and he has very thin kind of yucky tail. So, Jennifer, you did some research, and tell us about what you found about taking care of a kind of yucky tail and how you can make it better.
All right. Well, the inspiration, as you said, is P.T. Scooter, who, let's be brutally honest here, Glenn. P.T.'s mane is sufficiently thick, but the hair is the texture of corn silk. Every 48 hours, he's got new dreadlocks in that mane. It's awful. But
that
the
is
tail
true.
Is the yeah, the tail is the real problem. There's practically no tail left. So I did a little bit of research, and I dropped a little email to the good folks over there at horsegroomingsolutions.com as well, and I got some really good feedback from, I believe it was Donna who emailed me back. So I took all of that research and that email that I got from Donna, and I put it into a handy list of tips to maximize the tail improvement factor on your rescue pony. And first and foremost, particularly in the case of a rescue pony, but even in cases of horses that are seemingly healthy, make sure that your horse is healthy on the inside. There are an amazing number of things that happen on the outside of the horse that to us seem caused by the environment when, in fact, they are at least partly caused by poor nutrition on the inside of the horse. So make sure your vet and or nutritionist are involved in your horse's hair care. There are a number of nutritionist resources available on the internet, FeedXL being one of them. But most of the feed companies also offer that service for free. Just because he's getting a big pile of grain doesn't mean he's getting all the nutrients he needs. So step one, make sure that's all taken care of. Step two, check into his environment where he is itching, scratching, or rubbing, because a lot of horses have poor tails because they rub them out. And if you have eliminated internal factors like nutrition or parasites, try to eliminate as many as possible the places where he is rubbing his hair out. And this is one of PT's favorites. You've seen him do it, Glenn. He will rub himself up along the fence.
Yep, that's right, he does.
And he usually picks a spot where there's a nail head sticking out, a little piece of wire poking.
Yeah, we have to be careful of that with him.
he's bad that way. Also, keep in mind that horses who sit in their feet or water bucket or lean against the wall, they're not necessarily scratching their tail. Some horses do that because they have pain and or discomfort somewhere in the hind quarters. Their back hurts, their hocks are sore, something like that. So, again, rule that out, and
I thought you were going to say hemorrhoids there for a minute. I was going to go, I didn't know horses got hemorrhoids.
Well, I haven't looked into that. Google that right now, Glenn. Hemorrhoids and horses. See what you come up with.
Okay, I'll do that.
It's amazing how often I have had horses who are bucket sitters or wall leaners, and we put them in a good quality joint supplement or joint injections, and boy, they stop leaning on the wall. Amazing. So step two. Now finally we get to hair. The first suggestion, and these ones are all from Donna over at Horse Grooming Solutions, and they're all great. Apply plenty of fly spray. A lot of horses lose their tail hair because they're so busy swatting. They literally swat the tail right out. So use a good quality fly spray and use it regularly. I am not a big fan of the whole braiding the tail and stuffing it into a tail bag. Some folks like to do that, but that's a whole different group of tips because there are some very important care tips to use there. So I personally don't recommend it, but there we go. That's my take on braiding their tails and putting them inside of a bag. Keep the horse's tail clean, mud, grime, all that fly spray you keep putting on. So wash their tail regularly using good clean water, a good quality shampoo that is made for a horse. A horse's hair or a horse's skin has a different pH than a human skin. So use a shampoo that is designed for horses. Rinse the tail twice. If you have very, very hard water in your locale, look into using a clarifying shampoo or rinse the tail in white vinegar to help remove some of those minerals that build up. Those are two options. And they also make it's a little system for washing their tail that you can, it's like a big plastic bag you wrap around the dock of their tail, it gets all the shampoo in. You can use those if you have a hard time washing their tail. And rinse it twice. That's the most common reason horses get flakes in their tails is you left the soap in there. Wrong. Don't do it. Next, do not, this is for you, Glenn. Are you listening?
Okay, I'm listening.
Do not brush or comb the pony's tail except when absolutely necessary.
Yeah, see, I like to brush his tail, but I'm always pulling hairs out when you're brushing his tail.
Yeah. Use a clean hairbrush with flexible tines that is made for a horse. It's got those nice big wide ones that are flexible, and it's clean. When you get finished brushing your pony's tail, if there are hairs in the brush, you broke them off. And we're trying to preserve
Guilty.
The hair. Guilty.
Guilty.
What I need to let you get your frustrations out and comb Beaker's tail.
Yes, your horse has a much better tail.
He has enough tail for 4 or 5 horses, so we'll trade. And when you do brush their tail, start at the bottom and work your way up. Now, there's a good way to do this. There's a method. And when you get the bottom of their tail, the bottom 3 or 4 inches, stretch their tail off to the side and get it reasonably taut in your hand. And brush against your thigh, your leg. Don't pick the tail up and have all the hairs loose and dangly, because all that does is pull some of the hairs out and leave some of the hairs loose. It's really not doing the horse any favors. So stretch it a little bit taut, step off to the side, and go up 2 inches at a time. It should take you 15 minutes. Got that, Glenn?
See, that's where the ADD kicks in and why, I have trouble with this.
You want the pony's tail to be pretty, and you want it to be pretty in 35 seconds or less. Right?
Okay. Yes. Correct. That's right. 35 seconds is about the right amount of time. Correct.
And another one, use a good quality hair moisturizer. Notice the operative word here is moisturizer for their tail. Once it's clean, you've got all the mud and crud and grime out, put the moisturizer in. That is not a hair polish. It is not a hair detangler. It is not a hair slicking device. It is a moisturizer because most of the time the hairs are dry and brittle because the exterior protective coating that's naturally on the hair has been worn away for some reason or another, or it just isn't very good to begin with in the case of PT because of health problems. And you want to try and protect that. You want to preserve the natural moisture inside that hair and keep it flexible. Personally, Healthy Hair Care's hair moisturizer, which is that lovely orange-colored stuff that smells so good, it's one of my top 10 faves. So we do use Healthy Hair Care moisturizer, but you want to find one that's made for horses that stays in their tail. This is a separate process than using a conditioner that you rinse out. So rub it in. Don't forget to put it up on their dock and on the skin of their tail, because that's where things start. And if you have properly washed their tail and then put moisturizer on, you'll be fine. But you don't want to put moisturizer on top of a dirty, greasy dock. So make sure you wash first. And then be patient, because hair grows slow. It's not going to grow out in 30 days. But if you stick with the program, in a year or so, you will have an improved tail. There you go.
What? Well, there you go. Well, thank you, Jennifer. He definitely needs an improved tail. No question about that. And I did find an answer to the question, do horses get hemorrhoids? And the answer is yes, they can get hemorrhoids. However, they don't usually, because hemorrhoids are usually caused from constipation or a lack of fiber in the diet. And horses tend to eat a lot of fiber and not a lot of cheese. So that's why you don't usually see it. But it can happen if you've got a constipated horse who is constantly constipated. So there you go.
Wow, boy. Only on Horses in the Morning would you find the answer to do horses get hemorrhoids.
Happy breakfast, everybody.
That's
going
to have to go in the headline today, man.
Happy breakfast. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you're enjoying your breakfast. Well, thank you, Jennifer. And, of course, all of the tips that Jennifer has, a lot of tips you can find over at Horse Tip Daily, one of the shows that she hosts. So hop on over to horsetipdaily.com. There's over 800 different tips there on all different kinds of things. So you can find grooming tips, you can find tips on how to take better pictures of your horse, and just a whole ton, training tips, feeding tips, nutrition tips, it doesn't matter. You've covered about everything over there. So,
including do horses get hemorrhoids.
Yeah. Exactly. Now you can add that to the list, correct. A couple of news stories, and then we're going to call it a day here. I wanted to mention that we had brought up a couple of months ago that the Navajo Nation was under some attack because of their practice of taking in some of the feral wild horses on their properties and selling them off to slaughter. Well, the Navajo Nation says it will end support of the wild horse roundups and return to domestic horse slaughter following talks with former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. They've been in talks with him, and Richardson met him over the weekend, and they agreed to work together to find a more long-term and humane solution to the horse overpopulation problem. Apparently, the Navajo Nation has 75,000 feral horses drinking wells dry and causing ecological damage to their already, pretty sparse property at the Navajo Nation. So I can understand why they were concerned about it, but they are going to work with Bill Richardson on finding a better plan for the horses over there. So that was good news out of the Navajo Nation. And, Jennifer, when I say Rodeo Drive, Beverly Hills, what do you think of?
Woohoo! Expensive shopping!
Well, not over the weekend. They converted it into a bridal path because that's what Rodeo Drive used to be. And it used to be a bridal path for horses. And they celebrated over the weekend with something called the Gathering of the Horses. And it's this to celebrate the city's centennial celebration countdown. Rodeo Drive from South Santa Monica Boulevard down to Dayton Way in Beverly Hills returned to its historic roots as a bridal path Sunday as hundreds gathered to celebrate something called the Gathering of Horses. The event kicked off with a parade. They had all different kinds of groups, including the USC mascot, which is a horse. They had the Beverly Hills Police Department equestrian team. I didn't know they had one. The Wells Fargo Stagecoach led the way. We've met them.
Do that one again. The Beverly Hills what?
Police Department equestrian team.
Department equestrian team.
In Beverly Hills, do you imagine the kind of digs those horses probably live in?
Yeah.
But they had the Wells Fargo Stagecoach led the way. We've met them. They've been on the show. So the USC mascot Traveler was there. Scripps Miramar Saddlebreds, who are always in the Tournament of Roses parade every year.
Yeah, I thought I recognized those guys. Yeah.
And they actually were also participated in the Queen Simon Jubilee over in England. The Riata Ranch Cowgirls were there, known for trick riding and trip roping. It was the Grand Marshal of the parade was Jennifer Rogers, who is the great-granddaughter of humorist Will Rogers. And Beverly Hills Will Rogers was Beverly Hills honorary mayor from 1926 to 1928. So he was actually mayor of Beverly Hills. Yeah. They had the Andalusians there, of course. The Andalusians are always in every parade that's in California. And then, the parade was to pay tribute to Maria Rita Valdez, who was the original settler and owner of the land that is now Beverly Hills. She owned the land until 1854 when she sold it to Henry Hancock and Benjamin Wilson after being attacked by Indians. So she owned this land out in California that's now Beverly Hills, and she sold it because she got attacked by Indians and wanted to move. She was sick of the area. So that's how
it ended up being.
So, and then these two started, making a neighborhood out of it and building some houses on it, and that's how Beverly Hills all started back in 1854.
Huh. Who knew?
I know. Rodeo Drive, home to the horses. Who knew that it used to be a crummy, dirty, dusty bridle path? Not anymore. Now it's the home to very wealthy stores and plastic surgeons, and that's pretty much what's on Rodeo.
The only thing there.
That's right.
Send your Californians, please send your hate mail to Glenn with two N's at Horse Radio Network.
Hey, it's true. You also don't want to ignore one of the things that I do want to remind everybody of is they're still dealing with the aftermath of the blizzard in South Dakota. It's becoming apparent now that hundreds of thousands of cattle that died, but also that a ton of horses did die. One ranch alone reported 90 horses that were used in a summer camp were lost at one ranch. They're not sure of the horse number yet. They're trying to put all of those things together. Agriculture is South Dakota's premier industry. It generates $21 billion in annual income and employs more than 122,000 people, which is probably half the state of the population of South Dakota.
That's three quarters
of
the
state. Not that many people that live there, so... this is a very devastating to that state and to the agriculture community there, whether they're into horses or cattle or whatever it is. So I just want to remind everybody that we posted on Facebook on Monday a place that you can go to find out more information on the charitable work that's being done on behalf of the ranchers and everybody in South Dakota. So you can just scroll down on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, and you can find that information. Jennifer, you'll be happy to know two fun news stories for you. There was an OTTB therapy horse that was named Thoroughbred of the Year. Retrained Thoroughbred Lovable Rascal has proven a winner in the real world and has been named the 2013 Thoroughbred of the Year by the Jockey Club's Thoroughbred Incentive Program. The Thoroughbred Incentive Program is a program that tries to get thoroughbreds rehomed and used for other things. So they have this award they do. Lovable Rascal is being honored with a race named for him at Thistle Down Track in Cleveland, Ohio, and will be present in the winner's circle to receive his award. So apparently Lovable Rascal is going to be coming out away from the therapy program. He works for, he's 11 years old, and he works for the Fieldstone Farm Therapeutic Riding Center in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, and has been a therapy horse for 6 years. So that's kind of cool. They receive a halter from Tip and And Fieldstone was awarded $5,000 in cash, which I'm sure they can use every third.
You know, the leather halter with brass nameplate is the official prize of everything thoroughbred.
That is true. That is true, yes. It is.
Yes. Everything
you used to work for a company that made thousands of those every year, and that's what the prizes always were.
Tens of thousands. Tens of thousands of halters.
Yep. So congratulations to Lovable Rascal for his work as a therapy horse and for winning that award. And then yesterday, one of our favorite tracks in the whole world, Jennifer and Jennifer, argue with me if you don't agree with this, is the Red Mile in Lexington. Do you agree?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one between the Red Mile and Keeneland, both of which
I said one of our favorite, not the favorite.
Yeah.
One of our favorite.
You know, for the Red Mile wins hands down for the take the family out for an afternoon throwback to 1925. Absolutely.
Yeah, character. And a lot of characters.
Yes.
And it does bring you back mentally to about 1925. I mean, it really does. I remember that time we went there 20 some years ago on our first trip to Lexington, and we went to the Red Mile. We had a blast there. We really had a good time. But there was a record set there, and it was set over the weekend, and we now have a new fastest female pacer of all time.
Really?
Yes, and I want you to look at her name in the show notes at the bottom story and see if you can see how to say that.
Okay. I have Thoroughbred of the Year, South Dakota. I think I might have to hit refresh.
Yeah, go all the way to the bottom.
All right, let me hit the refresh button here. I love a challenge. Oh, she be stinging.
That's right.
She be stinging.
She be singing. She be singing. That's what it was. Yeah, and I looked at that and looked at that and looked at that, and I finally had to go to a race call to hear how they say it.
It could be she best in gin.
That's what I thought when I first saw it.
Yeah.
I thought, well, maybe that some gin guy owns it. she became the fastest pacer in a $122,000 race, which is very high for pacers.
That's a big race in the standardbreds,
Yeah, so she took the win, and they were very excited that this particular horse would take the win and has now become the fastest female pacer of all time. So, and it was in 147 and apparently the race surface was fast. Everything just worked in her favor. It was a good day all around. They said there were a lot of very fast races, but she took the cake. And she had a challenger that was right behind her and really pushed her along the way, but she broke at the end there and won the race. But she did have somebody that was pushing her along. So there you go. There's a couple fun stories for the end of the show.
There we go. Let's wrap it up, dude. I'm tired.
Yes,
it's
let's
Tuesday.
Do that. We'll be tired. We just started today. We'll be back tomorrow morning, of course, live here at 9 a.m. Jamie will be back. Probably Baby Luke will be back. And we'll be playing the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. And also, as I mentioned, Horse Side Vet Guide Weekly Horse Health Report with Dr. Ying tomorrow, talking a little Chinese medicine. So you'll want to join in for that. Plus, I think we have Templeton Thompson coming on, right?
We do have Tempe. Wednesday the 16th, Templeton Thompson, our favorite Western country music star.
Yes, she'll be on, and she's going to be talking to Jamie because Jamie's going to see her this weekend. So Jamie wanted to have her on to talk a little bit about the concert that they're going to. So they're going to get to meet for the first time, actually. So we're looking forward to having Tempe here as well. Happy days, everybody. Don't forget to download our app. You can do that on the App Store, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network. And be careful out there today. Be safe. Wear your helmets.
Brush carefully. Hit the button.
Yeah, brush.
That's your job.
I'm looking for it. I can't find it. Where's the closing? It's gone.
Oh, just pick a button.
There it is. I got it. See you, everybody.
You need a nap, dude.
I do. I need to go brush my horse.